Welcome to Vegas Inc. Radio. I'm Dellen Goldberg, host of the show and business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. Over the next half hour, we'll be looking at the 12 Las Vegans who changed the Valley's business landscape in 2012. I'm here with reporters Ron Sylvester, Rick Velotta, and Eli Siegel. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
This is our business team who all throughout the year has covered these movers and shakers, and we'll go one by one and just sort of explain why we nominated these people as our top 12 people of the year and what they accomplished this year and what we think we have to look forward to them for next year. So let's start. Our first nominee was Steve Hill. Steve is basically the state's economic development czar. Rick, what has Steve been up to and where's he headed?
Well, Steve had quite a year because he had to do the transition of the governor's vision for an Office of Economic Development, the whole redevelopment scheme and he was like the point man in order to put that together. So from the start of January all the way through to the end of the year, he's been doing various things, including setting up different regional development authorities in order to put this plan into place. And finally, in December, we finally are going to have the very first application for the special $10 million fund that the legislature put together in order to finance economic development. So it's been a long ride for Steve Hill, and I think that's one of the things that people are looking forward to turn the state around economically.
Do you think it's going to be a success, our diversification plan in 2013?
Well, the jury's still out on that, but right now all the tools are in place, and I think that once you have those out there, you're going to look at a situation where you want to actually test it out. So we've got the new car, but we haven't actually test driven it yet. And one of those things that we're going to be seeing in 2013 is whether this plan is going to be as effective as everybody has envisioned it to be.
And any one sector jumping out more than the others in terms of possibility?
I think that they've been done a pretty remarkable job of spreading that around. There's going to be obviously some emphasis in tourism, the medical tourism side, the technology side. All of these things have some different strategies that are in place, but they seem to be spreading that around quite a bit. You're going to see a lot more news about things like unmanned aircraft being lured to the state of Nevada in order to test them, presumably up in the test site up north of Las Vegas. And that in itself is going to be a new industry that we're going to be seeing and probably seeing a lot more of here. Of course, the bases in southern Nevada, people are accustomed to seeing these drones that are out there at Creech Air Force Base, and they do some work out at Nellis as well to have these drone aircraft. And now we're looking at civilian applications to these different aircraft. And that, I think, is very interesting. It's very exciting. And just the thought of maybe Nevada being the home of the testing for that is pretty interesting, I think, in itself.
That would be great for the state. Let's change over and talk about Pat Mulroy. She is our water czar, as you put it, Eli. Why was she in the news? She was one of our big personalities of the year.
Well, Pat has led the Southern Nevada Water Authority for a number of years now, and one of the great things about her is that there's never a dull moment when she speaks. She's very blunt, very direct, and it's always mildly entertaining almost to listen to her. But she's incredibly sharp and really knows her stuff, and she's a great person to hear. And one of the things that she did this past year that really got her in the news was that the Board of the Water Authority approved a surcharge to help finance some large projects. But as part of that, the water bills for a number of small businesses were expected to go way up, sometimes as high as 300%. And there was a big upcry. A lot of small businesses actually said that the higher water bills would put them out of business. And so in July, the Water Authority approved a credit to help cut those costs. But then at a real estate luncheon in September, Mulroy said that all rates and charges are back on the table for consideration by an advisory committee to the water agency.
And obviously people aren't thrilled about that.
No, I would suspect not, especially if these credits that were implemented to help them out, if those are reversed, then yeah, I don't see how businesses would be too happy with that.
And this is in part to pay for the so-called third straw into Lake Mead, which is questionable now that our population has dropped again, if we even need that.
That's right, yeah. It's an $800 million project, and it's intended to draw water from Lake Mead to help offset any droughts in Las Vegas. And, yeah, the population has gone down. On the other hand, there's still about 2 million people in the valley, and so the water demand is still pretty high.
Great. Well, let's look to the Strip for a little bit. And, Ron, you nominated Phyllis James of MGM. What has Phyllis been up to?
Well, Phyllis is the head of MGM's Diversity Initiative, and that is really an award-winning company. You know, it's considered one of the top companies in the nation for its diversity efforts, and she has led that for several years. And this year she put together the Women's Conference. And she's been a big push of this initiative. It started before she came, but it really has blossomed under her. And, you know, it used to be a lot of companies were criticized for just, you know, even in their hiring of vendors, you know, that all the contracts, you know, went to the white guys and white men. And she... has really helped turn that around, and one of MGM's big pushes is to do business with vendors, you know, of different ethnic groups and women-run businesses, and so she's really been at the forefront of that. And once again, MGM, you know, was named one of the top companies for its diversity efforts this year.
And she's gained national recognition. She was named by Uptown Professional Magazine one of the top executives in corporate America, which is pretty notable.
Yeah. She really got a lot of, you know, she started getting personally some recognition this year for, you know, the efforts that she does within the entire company.
Great. Well, Rick, we talk a lot about... transportation with you, and one of our favorites is good old Allegiant, because people love to hate them, but they are doing very well for themselves. Maurice Gallagher is the CEO, and what's his big accomplishment this year?
Well, of course, Allegiant Air started service to Hawaii this year, and that was probably the biggest thing that happened to the airline. And they're using the same model that they've always used, and that is to go to small towns and then provide these small communities with the opportunity to go to some of the resorts. And that's they've done that effectively in Florida. They've done that effectively in Arizona, in the Phoenix area. They've done it effectively here ever since the airline was founded. And now Hawaii is a part of that mix. The thing that's interesting, I think, about Mr. Gallagher is that, you know, he's not pretentious about anything in terms of why he's out there. He says to his shareholders, we are going to make you money, and hopefully we're going to make you lots of money, and here's how we're going to do it. Now, sometimes that rubs people the wrong way, and some of the ways that he makes that money is aggravating to the traveling public, things like fees and things like that. But the fact is that he has a lot of determination to make money for his shareholders and to provide a service to people who maybe would not necessarily have it living in a small community.
And it's working. I mean, they, along with other competitors who do the same thing, Spirit and to a certain degree Southwest, they're making money.
Right, they are. And that the thing that's important about that is that it bodes very well for Las Vegas to have all three of those airlines that you mentioned to be a big part of our opportunities at McCarran International Airport. They're bringing people here. We're going to see possibly record numbers of visitors in Las Vegas. That certainly bodes well for everything that goes on down at the Strip that Ron's covering. And we really, you know, getting the people here is half the battle.
Absolutely. Well, you're listening to Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here every Monday at 7 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm here today with our business team, Eli Siegel, Rick Velotta, and Ron Sylvester, talking about the top 12 business personalities of 2012. You can't talk about Las Vegas these days without mentioning technology. Eli, you wrote about Rob Roy, who is the somewhat elusive founder of Switch Technologies. What's he up to this year?
Yeah, that's right. Rob Roy is a very low-profile guy. He's almost never seen in public and rarely, if ever, gives interviews. On the other hand, he is the founder and CEO of Switch, which is a very popular and very successful digital data storage warehouse down off the Beltway near Decatur Boulevard. And he is growing the business very well. He's got hundreds of clients, many of which are Fortune 500 companies, that store their digital data inside this warehouse, which is, as some people probably know, is protected by security guards armed with assault rifles.
No joke.
It's pretty heavily fortified down there, as most data centers are. That's pretty par for the course.
And there's been other data centers this year that have moved into Vegas or at least announced plans. Do you think that there'll be competition for Switch, or is Switch just so far and ahead?
There could be, yeah. They have the same model as Switch, which is that they are opening it up to as many companies as want to use it. They're not designed for one company or even two companies in particular. It's really designed for dozens or hundreds. The other companies that are planning data centers, they're all pretty small. So it's tough to say whether they're going to make a lot of inroads versus Switch. I think some of the data centers are 50,000 square feet or 100,000 square feet, if that. They're all pretty small. Switch is very well known. They've been around for about 12 years. They have a lot of clients, so they'll dominate the local data center industry into the foreseeable future.
I think that one of the interesting things about Rob Roy is that he is on the governor's office of economic development, and we're seeing this very gradual shift in him being a very withdrawn and private guy into somebody who's more out there in the public. So I have a feeling that we're going to see more of Rob Roy in 2013.
Do you think he has personal ambition to achieve more beyond, you know, his business environment, or is he just learning that to be out there in the public eye is good for business?
Well, I think that he has a genuine concern for the growth and development of Las Vegas and Southern Nevada, and that's why he's making this transition to be a little bit more public. Whether that's something for personal ambition or for Switch's, for them to grow, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. But certainly, any time a large data company comes into town and Switch is on the radar, people know immediately what you're talking about when you have these data storage facilities, and he's the man right now.
And beyond his work with the state, he's also expanding his business locally too. He is branching out into other areas. He designed what he calls the Innovation Center. It's spelled INNEVATIO, an Innovation Center. It's a 40,000 square foot working space for entrepreneurs, economic development officials, and academics. It's expected to open next year. And on top of that, he's also formed an investment group called NV Angels. As far as I know, he's only made one investment, and he's put $500,000 of his own money into a Las Vegas social media startup called Tracky.
So he's really out there at the front of the local tech scene.
He is, yeah. He's very well known, and he's seen as a leader of the tech community, even though he's still a pretty low-profile guy, despite his involvement with the state.
Well, probably a totally different crowd. Let's talk about nightclubs. Don't know how many of the techies are going out clubbing, but probably some of them. Ron, you nominated Jason Strauss and Noah Tepperberg of the Tau Group.
Yeah, you talk about going from low profile to not low profile. These are the guys who hang out with Paris Hilton and on a regular basis, and they also run Marquee, which is the highest grossing nightclub in North America. I think it made around $80 million last year. And that was based on a model that they started in New York, and it's been very successful, and it's been so successful now they've opened another one in Australia. And they also run Tau and Lavo, which are also leaders in their, you know, categories in the hospitality industry. And we talked a lot about nightlife being one of the top revenue generators in Las Vegas. I mean, it's surpassed gambling, although you still run into even local people who don't realize that. They still look at gambling as being the big money maker, but this is actually this is actually, you know, one of the biggest, and they employ 3,200 people just here in Las Vegas. And so they, you know, and with Marquee in the last year, and some of the things they've done at Lavo with the, you know, day club brunch on Saturdays has really, you know, they really had a great year.
When they're doing something right, you reported that 6,000 to 7,000 people go through the doors of Marquee every night.
Right,
that's incredible.
Right, like, yeah. Well, they're the top grossing nightclub in North America by far. And so yeah, and you can walk through the Cosmopolitan on any night, and that line is up to a quarter mile long. And in fact, Jason and Noah's business model is now being studied by the Harvard Business School as one of the most successful business models in the nightlife industry. I think they had said that the typical nightclub was in New York lasted 18 months, and their Marquee in New York has lasted 10 years.
It's a model I'm sure everybody is looking at. Tina Quigley, we had her as part of our panel that our listeners heard last week and the week before about look ahead and the look back at 2012, and she's definitely an up-and-comer in the transportation industry. Rick?
I think that the fact that Tina Quigley was appointed to lead the RTC, the Regional Transportation Commission, this year speaks highly of her. She came up through the airport side, so she knows aviation, she knows that part of it. But now she's into an area where she's going to be dealing with highways and also mass transit in terms of buses, our bus system. And she knows them all, you know, equally well. I think that what bodes well for Las Vegas is to have that well-rounded outlook in terms of transportation and what's necessary to get people here and around in the city. And the thing that's so amazing about Tina is that she's so exuberant about it. She's very full of enthusiasm for these types of things. And, you can't help but smile when you go to some of these meetings and you hear her talk, because she knows her stuff so well and because she cares. So that's one of the things that I think is really important for our community, is to have somebody like that in government that is going to be watching out for our interests and knowing what's necessary to get done. Now, the big issue that she's going to be facing is the fact that there's less money to do more stuff. So with gasoline taxes actually decreasing by a certain extent, there's going to be fewer resources to deal with some of the things that are out there. And it's going to be up to her to come up with some creative solutions.
Well, and she seems well poised to do it. I mean, that she's pretty feisty spirit, and that's not to discount her intelligence in any way. But as you described it, when she got her job, she did a fist bump, which I think speaks volumes about how she approaches challenges.
Yeah, she does. She does get very enthusiastic about her work. And again, I think that's something that's a credit to our city.
Absolutely. Eli, let's talk about NV Energy. They're one of our biggest companies here in Las Vegas, and again, beloved and hated equally, as most utilities are. What has Michael Yakira, the CEO, been up to in 2012?
Well, as you mentioned, NV Energy, most people here, it seems, have a love-hate, if not leaning towards hate, relationship with the utility company. They're based in Las Vegas, and NV Energy serves about 90% of all of Nevada. It's about 2.4 million residents, somewhere around there. And so, yeah, so Yakira is the CEO. He's been there for a few years. And he, from a business standpoint, he's doing a great job. The company is earning a lot of money. They, you know, through September, for the first 9 months of this year, they booked $305 million of profit, which was up 62% from the same period last year. And at the same time, they paid out $111 million in dividends during the first 9 months, which is up 31% from the past year.
Why such an increase?
Well, it's common for utility companies to pay dividends across the country. That's pretty standard. And it's because utility companies are not in a growth mode. They don't typically grow at all, or if they do, it's in real increments. And so the stock typically doesn't rise very much. And so to give an incentive for investors to actually buy shares in the company, they pay dividends. And so I suppose as profits went up, the dividends go up as well. And so, yeah, so on top of that, so from a corporate standpoint, they're doing great. On the other hand, though, despite higher than expected revenue, Yakira was still trying to get approval from the State Public Utilities Commission to implement almost a $10 million consumer surcharge to make up for lost revenue that resulted from customers' conservation measures. So that has not gone over well with a lot of people.
Absolutely. As people get more efficient in their own households and lives, that doesn't bode well for NV Energy. So they're trying to look for, I guess, a way around it.
That's what it appears. That appears to be the case, yeah. And also it's important to note that increase is being opposed by the Nevada Bureau of Consumer Protection, which is part of the State Attorney General's office.
That'll be interesting to follow as it plays out. Lots of unhappy or happy people, depending on which way this falls.
That's right.
He also, NV Energy came under fire from Senator Harry Reid, who is generally somewhat soft-spoken, over the Reed-Gardner coal plant.
That's right, yeah. Senator Reid is he's a soft-spoken guy, but he almost never passes up an opportunity to take a pot shot at NV Energy. At times, it almost seems to be his mortal enemy, especially when it comes to clean energy and coal-fueled power. NV Energy has a plant out about 30 miles northeast of Las Vegas near the Moapa Band of Paiutes, out where where that tribe lives. It's called the Reed-Gardner Generating Station. It was built in the 60s. The plant's actually been upgraded a lot with new technology in the last several years to cut down on emissions and to make it much cleaner. But it is still a coal plant, and Senator Reid constantly, he's publicly asked NV Energy to shut it down, and the company has not surprisingly refused. And since then, Senator Reid has still taken more shots, describing, saying there's no such thing as clean coal, so forth. So it's kind of a back and forth PR game with them. But
and he's not alone. They have a lot of critics over that coal plant, but they also have a lot of supporters because it produces a good chunk of our energy.
That's right, yeah. And some of the more some of the more vocal critics, besides from Senator Reid, are the Moapa Paiutes themselves. But a number of them say that people in the community who live sometimes within just a few miles of the generating station have a number of related health problems.
To all our listeners just joining us, you're listening to Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here on KUNV 91.5 The Source every Monday at 7 a.m. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. And I'm here with our business team today, Rick Velotta, Ron Sylvester, and Eli Siegel, talking about the business personalities of 2012. We've got a couple more to go. Let's talk about Tom Skanky. He's another key transportation guy out there, but this time involving trains.
Well, and I was very surprised about Tom Skanky's new role. He is for quite some time been the key transportation lobbyist for the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, knows highways, knows trains, knows the aviation business, and he's done a lot to get people from California to Las Vegas, because a lot of the things that he looks at is how he can influence some of the decisions made by the California legislature in terms of getting their freeways upgraded. That is something that, in Nevada, we're not going to have much pull on, but the fact that he goes down there and he knows those people will, the decisions are made to actually improve Interstate 15 and get those corridors to a point where there are no big traffic jams. Well, there are going to be traffic jams always, especially on three-day weekends, but he does everything that he can to mitigate those things by making suggestions on how they can do it. He's been a part of the High Desert Corridor team for a long time. That's a new freeway that would connect Victorville with Palmdale, and that would be another route for people from Southern California to get to Las Vegas. Well, now he's got this new role. He's going to be the head of what used to be the Nevada Development Authority, and so he's going to be wearing a new hat. How this plays out, I don't know. He's very well connected, obviously, so it's going to be a learning curve for him. But the way he operates with people and the way he lobbies people, I think that he has a very successful outlook on this. But I think a lot of people are going to be looking to see if he can do for economic development what he has done for transportation in general.
And he's also one of his goals, which I don't know if that'll take a backseat or not, is trying to make UNLV sort of the train brain trust, if you will.
Right, right. He and a professor over at the engineering school over at UNLV, what they're trying to do is to get UNLV to become the go-to educational resource for everything high-speed rail in the western part of the United States. They would set up an institute that would be connected via long-distance learning with several other schools throughout the West, Arizona State, Utah, schools in Colorado, to put together a curriculum that will teach people to on some of the management and the technical skills required to build high-speed rail. Obviously, the Express West project is still on track. It's still something that we're looking forward to down the road. But you need to have people who know how to build these things and how to work with them, and that's what this institute would do.
Well, that'll be exciting. We'll have to wait and see if it comes our way. It would be a good thing for UNLV and the city and the region.
Certainly, yes.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the good Prince Harry. He might not be a local and he might not even be a citizen, but he was a true player in our economy this year.
Who knew that somebody who doesn't live here would have probably the biggest influence on our tourism this year? That romp that he had over at Steve Wynn's property is something that people started buzzing about immediately, and that buzz was translated into thousands of people giving a look to Las Vegas, planning making trips. You know, some of the online search operations that people did, they would look to see what was going on at Encore, Wynn Encore, and that bump was something that we saw an expansion in the number of people looking to visit here. Las Vegas Convention Visitors Authority had a field day with this. They put a full-page ad in USA Today calling out the people who took pictures of Prince Harry when he was having fun with his friends. And the bottom line on that was don't break the code, and that's something that's part of their big advertising campaign going forward.
The code being what happens here stays here.
What happens here stays here. You don't want to call, you don't want to rat out your friends who are having a good time. I was down in Southern California just recently, and I saw two of these ads on Southern California TV. So it's a campaign that's going to continue to have legs, and I think that Prince Harry has carried the ball on that for us. We certainly thank him for his selfless contribution to the Las Vegas tourism industry.
Thank you, Prince Harry. And it sounds like a joke, but it's real dollars that our business people are enjoying. It's a good thing. All right. Well, thank you so much, Eli Siegel, Rick Velada, and Ron Sylvester, our Vegas Inc. and Las Vegas Sun business team. You can follow their coverage and this story on VegasInc.com and LasVegasSun.com. This is Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here every Monday at 7 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. Thanks to Steven Zeller, our producer, and the entire KUNV team. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your day.